Fox Sports 1340 AM presents to you. WMER, Wrestling Marks of Excellence Radio, starring The Firm, J-Lo, Nephew, Corey, and Dr. D, bringing you the latest up-to-date information on professional wrestling and sports entertainment. Now, live from the Fox Sports 1340 studios in Hopewell, Virginia.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Wrestling Marks of Excellence here on 96.9 FM and 1340 AM Fox Sports Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, we're here for the Extreme Rules Prediction Show. Always with me is the Wizard himself, Nephew Corey. What's going on, Wizard?
What's going on, man?
Hey, nothing much, man. Extreme Rules coming from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and this weekend. And even though it's not too many Extreme Rules matches, it's still a call Extreme Rules, though.
It's getting weirder with that, but go ahead.
It's called Extreme Rules. But no, this is our prediction show. Well, let's get started with the predictions here. First match we have coming up. Let's start with this one. And I know it's on the main card. Maybe not one that we should start with, but I want to start with this one. Let's start with Asuka taking on Carmella with James Ellsworth in a shark cage. For the SmackDown Women's Championship, in my opinion, I think this one is Asuka's match to win. I think she has to win this one. Everything is stacked in her favor. Carmella doesn't have the assistance of James Ellsworth. James Ellsworth is suspended in the cage. And for some reason, maybe I go back to the 1980s, I like these type of matches where the person's in a cage. I remember J.J. Dillon used to be in a cage all the time. Jim Cornette used to be in a cage all the time. I think the last cage match, last time a person was in a cage, if I'm not mistaken, was Enzo Amore. Was in the cage before he left the company. And I want to say it was at SummerSlam a couple of years ago that he was in the cage. So this time you got James Ellsworth. I think you got James Ellsworth in the cage right here. Asuka taking on Carmella. I think this match is Asuka's to win. I mean, Carmella's beaten Asuka before. She's beaten Charlotte Flair. But I think, in my opinion, I think this is Asuka.
I don't think this happens in Extreme Rules. James Ellsworth is trying some kind of way. Help Carmella. Carmella wins, man.
I know she's a good player, and everybody's loving her right now, and she's a good heel. But I think this happens at Extreme Rules. I don't think SummerSlam is the place for it. I mean, that means they would have had a match for the last three pay-per-views. I don't think that's the case. I think Asuka gets it here. I really
fair think. Enough. Okay, we're gonna see, but
and let's stay with the women's championship matches. Let's stay there right there for a minute. You got Nia Jax taking on Alexa Bliss for the Raw Women's Championship in a Extreme Rules match. We saw on this past Monday night where Nia Jax got the beatdown put to her by Alexa Bliss with the Kendo stick. You know, this match right here, Extreme Rules, in my opinion, I think somewhere Ronda Rousey gets involved in this match and costs Nia Jax the title. And I think Alexa Bliss leaves with the Raw Women's title yet again and remains champion.
That's funny. I agree with you. I think that's exactly how it comes out. That's exactly how it happens.
You know, I think that's the way that they want to go. Maybe somewhere down the line, maybe in SummerSlam, we'll get a triple threat match. Maybe with Nia Jax, Alexa Bliss, and Ronda Rousey somewhere down the line there. But I think, you know, I think Alexa Bliss leads with the title in this Extreme Rules match. And I think this is very interesting to see. We know how Alexa Bliss can swing a kendo stick. We saw that a couple of years ago when she took on Bayley at Extreme Rules. So very good. I think Alexa Bliss walks out with the championship there. Well, let's go to this one. I'm really interested to see this. This probably be the pre-show match, the New Day taking on Sanity. You know, I'm not saying that the pre-show is a bad thing for New Day or Sanity, but I just don't see that fitting on the main card based off the rest of the storylines that everything else has going on. I think the New Day and Sanity will open up the pre-show. Just my opinion. But I think Sanity gets the win over New Day. Just because Sanity is that type of group coming up from NXT, they can't be other teams that come up in NXT or get lost. Can't be a Ty Dillinger who gets lost. I think Sanity won't get lost, but I also like what SmackDown is doing with their tag team roster and keeping these guys relevant. The New Day, you know, they don't need titles to be relevant. They're still one of the top faces in the company with Sanity coming up. Sanity, in my opinion, needs to win here just to maintain themselves as a dominant force in the tag team in six-man division?
Yeah, they're just starting out. You got to give them something. And at this point, I think the push value is there with the New Day, so they can give the win to Sanity.
Yeah, I think definitely is New Day is the push value. They don't have to do anything different. And I think Sanity, Eric Young, and those guys are good. You know, I'm going to ask you this, Wizard. What took so long for Sanity to get to the main roster? We saw promos, and we never talked about it. We saw promo after promo after promo, and it just took them a while. And I'm back old school again. And think about the old Dusty Rhodes promos and everything that used to happen, and it used to be months before you see them on the main roster. To me, it just seemed so long for Sanity to get to the roster.
Yeah, I just honestly, I'm not going to say we need to overthink this. I think it wasn't anything for him. So until you had something, kept them off TV. I get it.
Yeah, I get it. Let's stay with the tag team division right here. Let's sort of jump over to the Raw tag team division, where we have Bray Wyatt coming off an injury due to an automobile accident, and Matt Hardy taking on the B team. Now, I didn't watch this past Monday Night Raw. Both teams got a little physical in the ring with each other. You had the B team getting Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy getting physical. I just noticed, and maybe me looking too much into it, I noticed Bray Wyatt has not touched Bo Dallas yet. And I'm just going, do we see those two square off Sunday? Or are they going to try to keep them away from each other as much as possible?
No, I think it happens. As much as I'd like to see them continue with the momentum, I think you got to give this to Wyatt and Hardy. I think Wyatt and Hardy go over, but the B team will have a good showing. But I don't think you put it on them at this point.
This one is 50-50 for me. I can see, especially since Bray Wyatt had his accident.
I was like,
you know what, B-T may get this. Don't know the state of seriousness of Bray Wyatt's accident. Hadn't seen him wrestle in a couple of weeks. It's been about three weeks when Extreme Rules come. And I'm thinking, maybe they drop this. Maybe they give this to the B-T just to hold on to it for a while until the return match and keep their storyline going. Because if the B-T loses here, I don't see where they go. They're not entitled to another rematch. And then you have just built these guys up for the last three or four. Well, since the brand split or since the draft, you just build these guys up for nothing if they don't win, if they don't come, if they don't get a title run out of it. And I know they won a lot, and we know that Curtis Axel has gotten a lot of wins over Matt Hardy in the last past couple of weeks, and there's usually people who win for leading up to the pay per view usually don't win on the pay per view. But somehow, some way, I see the B team walking away as the new Raw champion.
We're gonna see, because I really don't see that. I mean, unfortunately, I just think they've gotten too much exposure and so many wins against them beforehand. I don't see them pulling it off, but that could be wrong.
We'll see where they go. And like, okay, but then if they don't win, where do they go? They just start throwing back in the pack with everybody else? The Titus of the world with AOPs and, well, we can't say Rezango because Fandango's hurt, so they just back in the middle of the pack. But then who challenges Bray Wyatt in Matt Hardy? Because we know the Raw tag team roster is not that extreme or that not that high. I mean, you still have the Revival, which is good, but they got to stay healthy. And they still building momentum up. You know, I mentioned the teams earlier with Apollo Crews, the Titus O'Neil team worldwide. And then you got AOP, who is they try to revitalize what they are with being a dominant tag team. You know, you got a couple teams, but no one sticks out as the front runner. And to me, it looked like you're at the same place you was at when you started this with the B team.
Yeah, definitely. I can see that. It definitely kind of does, but I just don't see it, man.
Gotcha. Well, let's take with tag teams. Let's go to the SmackDown tag team title match where we have the revitalization of Team Hell No, Daniel Bryan and Kane taking on the Bludgeon Brothers. I think this was a good move by WWE to put Team Hell No back together again. If you look at the SmackDown roster, there are not too many tag teams that can compete with the Bludgeon Brothers. They already have ran through the Usos. They've ran through several other tags, the New Day that was there. So we got the Bludgeon Brothers taking on Team Hell No. Do Kane and Daniel Bryan leave Pittsburgh as your new SmackDown champion?
In the words of Daniel Bryan, yes. I think they win this. Now, this is one where you do see the momentum and you're saying, okay, can that, you know, startup team pull it off? This is absolutely one of those occasions. I mean, the crowd would be 100% behind us. I say you go for it.
Okay, if they win, and I give my opinion in a minute, will it be a long title run? We know Daniel Bryan's contract is up in September, which I think he does renew. We know Kane has, you know, elections coming up in November where he will officially become the mayor in Tennessee. I think it's Knoxville City or Knoxville County, Tennessee, one of those two places. Will it be a long run? And does this hurt the Plunger brothers who just got the tag team titles?
They didn't just get them. That was April.
It was April.
It's been 3 months.
All right. In April, got the titles in April. But it's been a lackluster run for them, if we be honest. It has been a lackluster
run. I've been that way sometimes.
You can't think of any major thing they have done since they've been tag team champions. So with that being said, I think Team Hell No does get the tag team titles over the Plunger brothers, but I think the Plunger brothers still look strong and still stay within the tag team title picture where you have Sanity, you have New Day, you have the Usos. We know that the tag team division on SmackDown, in my opinion, is way better than the tag team division on Monday Night Raw currently.
And that's not saying too much, though.
It's not saying too much. You don't have those flamboyant, exciting tactics besides, in my opinion, besides the Usos. Everybody else's cookie cutter mode is still there. So, Well, let's move on to the next match. Jeff Hardy taking on Shinsuke Nakamura, who will be making his return after being bit by a dog in Los Angeles for the U.S. title. Shinsuke Nakamura and Jeff Hardy for the U.S. title. Wizard, who you have here?
If Shinsuke wasn't hurt, I would have went Shinsuke, but I'm going to go Jeff Hardy. Just because of the lack of build to the match, I don't think they had the title switch off of that. That's the only reason why.
But the lack of build because of the dog incident, or the lack of build because the writing didn't have anything else they needed to do?
The dog incident. The dog incident.
Okay. I'm going to go Jeff Hardy as well, but that would give Shinsuke Nakamura a losing streak on pay-per-views. In title matches.
I think you're the only one looking at that at this point. I just still think there's enough in Shinsuke that they can invest in. I don't think it hurts him to lose on this pay-per-view as well. I really don't.
Okay. So you got Jeff Hardy. I got Jeff Hardy. But really, heart goes with Shinsuke Nakamura. Well, let's move on. Move on to a match that will be a hard-hitting match, and it better not go on last. I think the fans of Pittsburgh really would be upset if this match went on last. And that's Bobby Lashley taking on Roman Reigns. I think we've seen Bobby Lashley's personality much more in this promo or these last couple weeks leading up to the match with Roman Reigns better than it was with Sami Zayn. A little bit more writing, a little bit more acting on his part, a little bit more aggression from Bobby Lashley. You can see some of the realness that is coming out in his promos or in his interaction with Roman Reigns. To me, this one is simple. I think Roman Reigns gets the win over Bobby Lashley, hands down.
This one's going to be tough. I'm going to stay safe, and I'm just going to go the no contest route. I don't see how you give Lashley a pinfall victory at this point. I don't see how you give Roman one at this point. So I think they go to a draw, man, or some kind of no contest or something.
I would think that kind of cheap as Extreme Rules to have a no contest. Just my opinion. I mean, and I can see WWE doing it. That's why I'm saying it, not because you picked it or you called it. When you said it, I was like, you know what? I can see them doing that. To me, but to have that at Extreme Rules match, I just think Extreme Rules, everything should be no DQ. So that you have to have a winner. That there has to be a winner in place. That's just my opinion. I think everything should be there, but I can definitely see how there will be a no contest somehow. Somebody interferes or somebody jumps in or something happens here. But I can definitely see where you can get a no contest there. and then which we don't know where that goes from the world title picture, because hopefully the winner there would have been a number one contender going into SummerSlam if you get a no contest. But let's move on a little bit. Let's move on to the next match. I think will be, I'm going to say this match right here is going to be the show stealer, and that's the Intercontinental title match where you have Dolph Ziggler taking on Seth Rollins, 30-minute Iron Man match. And excuse me for laughing. When they said 30-minute Iron Man match, I kind of laugh because I'm like, I'm used to the 60-minute Iron Man matches. And I know why you can't do 60-minute Iron Man matches, which actually could. You're on the network now, so you really got to do pay-per-view numbers. You already got 11 matches on this card. I would just make this a 60-minute match. Is it that this day and age, the fans can't stay tuned into one match for 60 minutes?
I think so.
Ric Flair, the Steamboat, 60 minutes on a regular basis. But I guess,
yeah, well, this one's only 30, so we'll be okay.
30-minute Iron Man match. I'm going to say this way. I'm going to say Seth Rollins walks away as the Intercontinental Champion. I'm going to call the number. I think the match will be 3-2. I think Seth Rollins will get 3 pinfalls. Dolph Ziggler will get 2 in a 30-minute match.
Yeah, I'm going to go. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
No, and I'm going to say, just remind the listeners, those who are listening, that Drew McIntyre is banned from the ring. He would not be able to interfere in this match. So it will be a true one-on-one match between Dolph Ziggler and Seth Rollins for the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah, I'm going to go 4-3, and I'm going to go Seth as well. Seth's too much of a role, and they want him to have a prominent position. I don't think they thrust him in the main event yet, so I think Seth wins it.
Got you on that. I think it'll be good for these two to go back and forth. We don't have a universal title. This is the universal title. This is the major title on Monday Night Raw. So as of right now, until we see Brock Lesnar on a consistent basis.
Right.
So I think these two guys will shut the house down. This will be the match of the night. But let's move on to, you have the match of the night. You always got to have a match that brings the crowd down a little bit before you build them back up. And I think this match is going to be the match that brings the crowd down a little bit. And it sucks for one of the competitors. And that's Finn Balor taking on Baron Corbin. Finn Balor has been the Universal Champion at one time, got injured, and in my opinion, has not recovered. It has not recovered yet from that.
No, he hasn't.
They're still trying to find a place for Finn Balor. Somebody who is a world-class wrestler who was top on the indie scene, who was top in New Japan, who came to the WWE and had started off with fire and gasoline draws, had fire all written all over him, and now he's stuck in a program with Baron Corbin, the Constable. Who do you have winning this match?
Oh, Finn Balor. I don't even know what they're doing with Baron Corbin at this point. But, yeah, give it to give it to Finn Balor. Not even a second thought in my mind.
Yeah, not a second thought in my mind either. I think Finn Balor gets the win here by no means. I think Baron Corbin will put on a good show, but I think Finn Balor definitely gets the win here, hands down. It'll be interested to see where Finn Balor moves on after this match. Be interested to see where he goes, who he wrestles next. They don't have nothing for him right now. And I don't know if people like Sami Zayn being hurt or, you know, The Miz being on SmackDown is not a bad thing for Finn Balor, or Dean Ambrose is not being around. But Finn Balor needs to find something to find his way back into the title picture. Thoughts that we would see Finn Balor and Seth Rollins, but the WWE had other ways they wanted to go. They had Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler with the resurgence of Dolph Ziggler and Seth Rollins. But I think this is Finn Balor's match. Finn Balor wins this match here, hands down. Let's move on to the next match. Next card match of the card, the cage match. Braun Strowman taking on Kevin Owens in a.
Gosh, this pay per view is long. I just thought about that. What are these? A good 10, 11 matches?
It is 12 matches on this card.
That's what I thought.
It is 12. Remember, there's no brand split, so is it
right? I just was thinking about it, though. I'm like, man, this is a lot. But yeah,
they got a lot to put in. No wonder it's a 30-man Iron Man match instead of 60 minutes. Because you got to get all these cards in. Got to get all these matches in. But nonetheless, we have Braun Strowman taking on Kevin Owens in a steel cage. Braun Strowman, I'm going to say Braun Strowman's going to win this, but it's got to be a point in time where Kevin Owens gets one up on Braun Strowman.
Is it this time? Is it going to be this time?
And that's what I'm thinking. Is this the one where something happened? Remember last time Kevin Owens was in a cage match, Sami Zayn came to help him out.
Right.
So he has some assistance winning the cage match here. And somehow I'm just thinking, we know Sami Zayn, somebody or something is going to help Kevin Owens beat Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman's still going to look like a monster, still going to look like a beast that he is, but somebody's going to help Kevin Owens get the win or get the one up over Kevin Owens. He can't be getting dominated.
We can't feed him but so much.
Yeah, he can't feed him so much. He's gotten dominated wins. Braun Strowman turned his car over. They'll put him in a porta potty. He's going to turn him over. I'm going to go on the limb and I'm going to say Kevin Owens gets the win here. I'm going to say Kevin Owens gets the win over Braun Strowman, but Braun Strowman still comes out looking like the animal that he is.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that. I'm going to agree with that because I 100% am going to say the same thing, is that there's no way. And typically this happens with Money in the Bank winners. They start to cool off after they win it, before they ultimately cash in. So, yeah, I think Kevin Owens got to have some kind of payoff from this. So,
but you know what? You made a point there. Braun Strowman's never been cooled off.
Yeah, that's true.
Most Money in the Bank winners, like I said, leading up to it, have been cooled off. He has never been cooled off. He won the greatest Royal Rumble, and then he comes back and wins the Money in the Bank, and now he's running a wreck shot. He won the tag. Let's go back to WrestleMania. Forgot about that. He won the tag team titles. Then he won the greatest Royal Rumble. And then he won Money in the Bank. He has not been cooled off yet. And I think this is an opportunity for Kevin Owens to cool him off. Nonetheless, let's move on to the last match of the card, the Extreme Rules pay-per-view card, and that is Rusev taking on the phenomenal one, AJ Styles, for the WWE Championship.
Mm-hmm.
I think we won't get any surprises in this match. I don't think there will be a swerve. Somewhere down the lines, it could be a swerve. And the only reason I think it could be a swerve, would they pay Rusev back for doing a job to The Undertaker at the greatest Royal Rumble? Would they allow him to get a title run since he's gotten himself over and that it is Rusev Day? Would he be able to get one and carry it into SummerSlam as the WWE champion? Or is he just a place for AJ Styles to show his dominance and he legitimately gets this long WWE title run? We know reports come out that Vince McMahon said he would love to have AJ Styles 10 years ago. I'll dispute that to the end. AJ Styles was not what he is right now 10 years ago.
Yeah.
AJ Styles needed to go to the Indies to be where he's at right now. He needed to go to New Japan.
Yeah.
He needed to go do the Bullet Club to be where he's at right now. As a fan looking at it, AJ Styles wasn't ready 10 years ago, because that's the case. WWE should have pulled the trigger on, or would have pulled the trigger on him 10 years ago, or when his contract came up. But they allowed him to go to the Indies to develop himself and become a bigger star, and then the WWE pulled him. So those who are out there say, oh, AJ Styles would have did this 10 years ago in WWE, then why the WWE didn't get him 10 years ago? Just saying. But I digress. Get off my soapbox and get back to the green card. Rusev taking on AJ Styles. Your thoughts and your opinion?
If it was anybody but AJ Styles, I could see Rusev getting a quick hot shot, couple-week win going into SummerSlam. But it's AJ. I don't think they take the belt off him. I think they want it to mean something, whoever ends up beating him for the championship. So it's going to be AJ Styles that continues to reign after this match. So I'm going with AJ Styles.
AJ Styles it is. AJ Styles it is. This will be a good crowd, I believe, in Pittsburgh. This will be a long card in Pittsburgh, but I think definitely will be a good crowd. And we'll see how Extreme Rules will shape up, ladies and gentlemen. Those are our predictions for the Extreme Rules for 2018. Any comments, concerns, please leave your comments and concerns. Hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up on Facebook. Subscribe to this show. Each and every week you hear new updates for Extreme Rules, for Monday Night Raw, for SmackDown. Ladies and gentlemen, Wizard, take us home.
Hey, if you're not confirmed, consider yourself denied.
End of stories, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.